Jason and Jalen go off. The Boston Celtics get an easy win. And for once, it goes the way it's supposed to look like. And I'm going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird the DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's how it started, raising banners how we finished. Locked on Celtics pod, home of the winners. Hey there, thank you for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Celtics is free, available on all platforms, including YouTube. Watch the show on YouTube, please. And every episode on LockedOnCeltics.com. It's a Monday through Friday show, so thank you for making it part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales. I cover this Boston Celtics team for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is available everywhere books are sold. Even on my website, John Corrales, you get a $30, for $30, you get a signed personalized copy. I'm a voter on the Boston Celtics all-time team, the 75th anniversary team. I am one of the voters. So I am very heavily connected to this team. I watch it very regularly. So if you're new, if you're just tuning in, if you're just figuring out who I am, I do welcome you aboard. Thank you very much. Boston Celtics get a 119-100 win over the Indiana Pacers in a rare, comfortable, easy, kind of just cruise along kind of win with only one moment where you're just like, oh, what's going on here? Why is there so much sand in these gears? Celtics at the end of the second quarter kind of let go of the rope as per usual, but they answered, and they answered big in the second half and ran away with it kind of. They didn't do garbage time the way you would have expected. Like if this was the Milwaukee Bucks or something, they might've done garbage time a little earlier, but Celtics put this thing away. The big story really in this game, the headlines of this game to me are the response in the third quarter, really Tatum and Brown combining for 67 points. I don't know why I said 72, 67 points in this game, and the hot shooting. The hot shooting was, I think, one of the third big headline. So let's start with Tatum and Brown, who each shot 11 of 19. Jalen was 7-11 from three. Tatum was 4-9 from three. They both scored at every level. Tatum had 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Jalen, 34 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. A few turnovers, okay, not great. The early on, and those were, I think, mostly early, it was kind of one of those, or actually, second quarter-ish, where things were starting to fall apart. They got a little loose, but this is the second time this season where the Celtics got 30 points each from, let me just double check it. Second time this season, 30 points each from Tatum and Brown. 6 times it's happened in Celtics history. The Celtics have not lost any of those games that they've gotten 30 points from Tatum and Brown together. These guys played off each other. And I think when we look at this season and try to figure out, all right, what's going on with this team this season? Like we're halfway through, right? And so you should have a strong sense of this is who this team is. This is what we should expect from them. This is just what the Celtics are. And normally I would wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. It's 42 games into the season, right? We're on the other side, right? We just tipped over the other side. This roller coaster is starting to go down again. I just hold out this one little bit where that starting lineup, and I haven't checked the actual minutes lately, but it's still one of the least used starting lineups. And they still didn't have Marcus Smart in this game. So still not their number one lineup in there. But their starting lineup has been used so infrequently that we still have to ask the question, do we really know who these guys are? Because what we saw in this game, and I'm not trying to base this off of the result and shots falling and all of that stuff. What I'm basing it off of is Tatum and Brown were working off of each other a bit more. Ime Udoka is working these guys together a little bit more. We're seeing a little more action between these two guys. And so it does beg the question, have we seen the actual Boston Celtics? Now, there are certainly things from the first half of the season that stick out and stand out and carry on. They are still, I still don't trust them implicitly with leads. This was, now, the Indiana Pacers, this is where the quality of opponent comes in. The Pacers made their run at the end of the second quarter. They turned a 12-point lead into a 5-point lead. And then, good thing for the Celtics, they came out in that third quarter. Al Horford, two buckets, challenging DeMontis Sabonis, getting a good contest, forcing a miss. Celtics coming out, Schroeder hits a bucket. Boom, 6-0 run. Celtics respond. They never really get that lead down below 9, and that was only briefly. Celtics immediately got it back to double digits, and it was never below double digits again. Nice response. I'm not putting too much stock into the response here because it's still the Indiana Pacers, and I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, great, everything's fixed because they made this one response, right? But the fact that Tatum and Brown are both healthy at the same time, which hasn't happened very often, it does throw this wrinkle into what the Celtics have been. Does having Tatum and Brown working together make some of the other things go away? Does it make some of the shots that the Celtics get easier? Does it make it easier for Ime to say, we're not playing certain lineups together that haven't worked? This is where we get into the questions here. Tatum and Brown both hit a ton of shots, right? Again, they both hit 58%. Tatum was 4 of 9 from 3, so that's 44.5%. Jalen was 7 of 11 from 3, so 63.5%. Those aren't sustainable numbers necessarily. But it's not about the shots falling. It's about how they got the shots. And really, these two guys were playing a very comfortable game. They were loose. They weren't forcing a whole lot. They looked like they were looking for just, all right, what's in front of me? What's the play in front of me? And Ime said before the game, that very Brad Stevens-esque way, oh, I want these guys to hit singles. And I know it's funny that he said hit singles, and the Celtics overall shot 18 of 38 from three, and the three-point shooting is one of the big stories, which is very home run-ish. But when it comes to the hitting singles part, quote unquote, it's about making the next right play, the simple play. And the simple play can be a three-pointer, but it's one of the things that I harp on here on this podcast. And I go back to the Marcus Smart play from a couple games ago where I said against New York, he had a wide open corner three-pointer. I said, no, that one you're supposed to drive, because the right play in there in that particular situation was to drive. It's not about being overly complicated. And it's also not about settling for certain shots, because the Celtics have this propensity over the course of the season to say, well, this is a good shot. I'm just going to take the good shot. You work an offense to get a good shot. This is a good one. I'm going to take it. What Tatum and Brown did here was, okay, this is a good shot. Let me just work a little bit here. And they move the ball and they move themselves. And it really set everything up to be easier down the road. First quarter, Celtics 7 of 10 from 3, 11 of 17. Tatum had 14. Brown had 10. There were 8 assists on the 11 makes. And nobody in the starting lineup had more than 2 assists. So 8 assists in the first quarter alone. And it was all, you look at the box score, it was like 2-2-2-1-1. Like that's how the ball is supposed to move. Playing off of Brown, playing off of Tatum, that's what the Celtics are supposed to be. For one day, we said, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. Again, huge caveat, it's the Indiana Pacers. And that's what it's supposed to look like against a team like the Indiana Pacers. But more so than anything, this win opens up that sliver of the door being, you know, just pull it ajar a little bit to say, okay, wait a second. I see what Ime's trying to do here. you know, some handoffs, some off-ball screens, some just different actions for Tatum and Brown playing off of one another to open things up for everybody else. And now that you've got Grant Williams feeling comfortable, now that you've got Robert Williams feeling a little bit more comfortable, get different players, Josh Richardson feeling more comfortable, that now opens up the door for just a little bit more. I don't know what's going to happen. This could just be nothing. This could all fall apart. They're playing Philly and they're playing Chicago next. It could all completely fall apart. I'm not overreacting. I'm not saying that everything's fixed and everybody should be celebrating or anything like that. This, at its core, was a nice win over a bad team, and they played exactly the way they should, and the result was exactly what it should. But, there's this little, that makes you wonder. Okay, I'll get more into some of the rest of the game here. Individual performances, because there were some other good individual performances, which I'm going to talk about after the break. First, let's talk about Prize Picks, because if you haven't signed up for Prize Picks, you're missing out, because it's a fun way to play daily fantasy and you can make a few bucks while you're doing it. You can go over to prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA. You're going to get $50 free if your Prize Picks, if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. This is a new promo from Prize Picks. Here's how it works. It's daily fantasy. It's a prop game. So you could have gone before the game and looked at the over-under points for Tatum or Brown. And certainly they weren't at 30. So you pick the over, you would have won. You pick 2 to 5 different players, and you can even cross sports. You know, on Saturday when the Celtics and Patriots play, you could pick Tatum and Mac Jones. I mean, you can pick different over-unders, you know, completions, points, rebounds, block shots. You have options. And it's just you against the numbers. You're not playing against me. You're not playing against anybody with any inside information or anything like that. You're just playing against the numbers. It's the best NBA daily fantasy prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players, including the bench players too. So you'll have Peyton Pritchard to choose from. So go to Prize Picks. You download the app. It's on the App Store and Google Play. Users that deposit and use the promo code NBA will get $50 free if your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point. That's all you need to do. Users that deposit and use the promo code NBA will get $50 free if your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Hey there, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make Locked On Now your second listen every day? It's a great recap of every game in the league every night. So if you want a quick recap of all the games every night, so the show varies, could be a few minutes, could be 10 minutes, but it's real quick. Either side, both sides, record a couple of minutes reaction. So I recorded a reaction to this game. Tony East recorded a reaction from the Pacers perspective. They're both on Locked On Now, so you get both sides of the story. It's great. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts, and it's on YouTube on the Locked On NBA feed. I think the Celtics' response in the third quarter was one of the big stories, because the Celtics were able to come out of the half with purpose, with this, you know, not doing what they've done in the past, which is you give up a run to end the quarter. They led 47-35 at 7:05 in the second quarter. It was Pacers' 12-3 run to close it out. They were down 5, and I tweeted out the first few minutes of the third quarter. I literally wrote, this game might come down to the first few minutes of the third quarter. So what happens? Al Horford comes out, does what I said he did. Couple of buckets, just settles things down, is the veteran, gets to a spot, hits some easy shots, and is the exact type of, all right, we're not going to settle. We're going to work the ball around. I'm going to, oh, okay, I got this mismatch. I'm going to get to a place where I know I can make a basket. And he did. And so when I look at the individual performances, Al Horford doesn't stand out necessarily, and he certainly is still struggling from three, which is a problem. He's 0 of 3 from three in this game. He has not been able to hit from deep in a long time, and that is problematic. I'm not going to deny that. But I thought Al was big, especially in that run. He had four assists. He had a great drive, one of the great early possessions for the Celtics, where the ball worked around. It got to Al Horford in the corner. He attacks a closeout, drives really well, strong baseline drive, dumps it off to Grant Williams, who lays it in over the front of the rim. That was a beautiful play. That's the Al Horford effect. Now, this is why I want Al Horford to stick around. The financial impact of Al Horford sticking around is going to be the issue next year, and that's a whole different story for a different podcast, but he's still capable of making these plays. It's a matter of, can the Celtics financially keep him? Whatever they need to do, they need to do, and it's a business and whatever, but I'd rather keep Al Horford around if possible, just because he's able to do that stuff. But also, coming off the bench is probably the better idea. But Al, I thought, was great and settled the team down. Robert Williams, for that matter, not a huge statistical night, but he was really good too. 5 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. He only played 23 minutes. He had that bumped heads with Lance Stevenson, I think it was, and he got a cut over his eye. So he missed a bit of time there, but I thought early on he was really good. And there was a point there where he left the game. It was after that the stitches, and immediately the Celtics got disjointed. And I think Robert Williams is starting to settle into a very valuable role where just having him on the floor, it just makes things a bit more fluid. He's the exact type of guy. And I think learning from Al Horford is super important here. The ball mover, getting the ball from side to side, understanding that sometimes, depending on how the Celtics are playing this, sometimes you're playing Tatum and Brown off of each other, sometimes you're playing them on opposite sides. And if you're running a pick and roll, this is very important for Rob, you run a side pick and roll with Jason Tatum, let's say, and they blitz him and you get it over to Rob, one dribble, get it over to the other side. Now Jaylen Brown has a mismatch and all this attention is going this way and Jaylen Brown drives on the other side. And then you have the potential for an alley-oop to Rob again, or another swing, a drive and a kick to the corner and somebody's spotting up in the corner, or you kick it across to the other corner where Jason Tatum's probably still waiting. And that type of play is super important to making the Celtics offense work. That's what Robert Williams continues to pick up, and he needs to keep doing, keep building on that. Al Horford is great at that. That's a very important element. We talk about connective tissue. I talk about connective tissue all the time. That's a great place for Rob. Side pick and rolls with Rob and one of the Jays, there's no doubt they're going to blitz right away to try and give up the ball. If the read is to give it to the big, then you got to be able to take hard dribbles and then get it to the other side, and that's going to start the defense moving. You put them in rotation because once they commit two to the ball and you get it to the other side, you're putting the defense in rotation, and that's where you start to pick them apart. That's where the Celtics offense, which has struggled, is going to be at its absolute best. And then I got to say, Dennis Schroeder was great in this game. There were a couple of shots where I was like, ooh, I don't know if you should take that. Oh, okay, went in. Great. You know? So he had a couple, but they fell. He was 7 of 11, 4 of 5 from 3, 23 points. I thought this was a really, really good Dennis Schroeder game. And he's shown that when he's starting, and I don't know what the difference is, because he's been good off the bench before. Starting for the Celtics this year, he's generally been pretty good. Coming off the bench, I think he's struggled a little bit, and that's something that I don't know how much longer that's going to be an issue, because I don't know how much longer Schroeder's going to be around, because just the business of everything, like I said, makes sense to trade him. But in this game, this was really good. No complaints for Dennis Schroeder. 23 points, 3 assists, a couple of rebounds, a steal, only 2 turnovers, like nothing too. He wasn't doing the stuff that I was, you know, I thought was bad in the last game or the game before, where, you know, going for his own shot and stuff like that. So a great Dennis Schroeder game there. Before I go, I want to dip into the mailbag, because I got this message here on a related note from Tom M, who said, "Hi, John, Really looking forward to tonight's podcast. Can't wait to see what you come up with to trash Schroeder like you do after every game. I'm sure you didn't enjoy today's win without your binky Marcus in the lineup. As a 42-year season ticket holder, I'll say I did enjoy it. Fluid ball movement, low turnovers, no hero ball threes, being chucked up after 17 seconds with 17 seconds left on the shot clock. 7 of 11 for Dennis tonight, not bad. For the record, I looked up Smart season stats, and in 21 games, he's taken 11 or more shots. 5 times, he's made 7 or more baskets. Yes, 5 out of 21. He sucks, and this team would be so much better if they turned the point guard reins over to Schroeder and Pritchard. I'll be listening tonight. Don't let me down. Find a way to praise Marcus and slander Dennis, please. Thanks. So I just want to say to Tom M, thank you for being a complete dick. You're the one who took the time after a game that everyone enjoyed, myself included. It was a good game. It was a fun game. I thought Dennis Schroeder was really good, and I just said so. Had nothing to say about Marcus Smart because Marcus Smart didn't play, yet you found a way to turn it into a negative. You're the one who, after a great game that you should just enjoy, said, you know what? I'm going to go click on this link on this website to send John a message. You're the one who went and looked up Marcus Smart's stats so you could specifically trash Marcus Smart. You're the one who is making this a negative thing. And I just want to call you out in front of everybody and say, that was a real dickish email. I didn't appreciate it. Just enjoy the damn win and just shut the hell up. All right. I don't care if you listen to the show anymore. This is the type of thing where you're projecting. You're the one that's projecting out here because you're the one with an agenda. I have no agenda. You're the one who comes out here and makes all of these statements expecting me to do something. And you've done everything that you project onto me. You hate Marcus Smart. Sorry. Marcus Smart's a good point guard. Marcus Smart's actually pretty good. If you look at this game, and you think, oh, well, they didn't have Marcus Smart. That's the difference. Then I question how closely you watch this game. 42-year season ticket holder, and your takeaway from this game is Marcus Smart didn't play? That's your takeaway? After what Jason and Jalen did? After what these guys did as a whole? That's your takeaway? Give up your season tickets. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Coming up next, hey, maybe water is finding its level. Talk about that after I talk about Bet Online, which would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering out there in 2022. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. So whether your favorite sports are football, basketball, hockey, boxing, or UFC, or if you just want to play your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make Locked On Bets your second listen? Just talk to you about Bet Online. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and expert advice by Lee Sterling, could help you win a couple extra bucks. They're pretty good at this thing, and that's why their podcast is great. Check it out wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Bets. Here's a number, here's a stat that might show that water could be finding its level. The Celtics are 22nd in the NBA in three-point field goal percentage, 33.9. That's not good. In January, they're 9th, 37.7%. Over their three-game winning streak, small sample size, but they're 6th. They're shooting 40% over the last three games. So much of what has held the Celtics back this season has had to do with poor shooting. It might be possible that the Celtics are actually going to shoot a little bit better, a little bit closer to their normal career field goal percentages, every player coming into the streak, every player except for Grant Williams and Josh Richardson was shooting below their career three-point percentage. All the rotation guys. Only Grant and only Josh were hitting above their career percentage. Schroeder was a couple of points below. Smart's probably like 3 or 4 points below. So they're not that far off, but Tatum was off. Brown has been off. Horford is way, way off. But maybe this little run can give the Celtics a little bit more confidence. No one expects them to be the best three-point shooting team, but no one expected them to be as bad a three-point shooting team as they've been. If they can level this out, they will start winning some games that they had lost over the first half of the season. Think back to how many games just shooting a normal percentage that they would have won. What was that game that they shot 16%? They all blend in together. There are probably five games alone that if nothing changed besides shooting a regular old average percentage, five games probably that they could have won at the very least. And they're 21-21 right now. What if the Celtics were 26 and 16? 26 and 16. If the Celtics were 26 and 16, hell, I'm going to look up the standings right now. First of all, if they were 26 and 16, I wouldn't be getting the types of emails that I just read to you. If they were 26 and 16, they would be one game behind the Miami Heat and a half game ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks in fourth, which is exactly where we thought the Celtics were going to be. And so all of the things that we've said about this team are true. They do need somebody on this team to step up and be the jerk out on the floor, to be a sort of CP3, to be that guy that's got that edge. They do need that, like I said the other day. They do need to move some of these pieces like a Schroeder, like a Wancho, and get the assets that they can, or clear the space and all of that stuff, and retool this roster to add more shooting around it. That's for sure. But their shooting, just the shots falling, would have changed the entire discourse of this season. It would have changed how horrible some people feel about this team. The Celtics are 21-21, and they're currently 10th in the East. Their point differential at +2 puts them at 6th in the East. So they have underperformed a lot of indicators that would say, hey, this team isn't quite as bad. They're not great. This is not a great team. They're an okay team. I think a lot of things point to them being actually better than a 500 team. Even though they're 500 and your record is what it is and you are what your record says you are and all of that stuff, if on this other side of the midway point, the Celtics can just get up to this, it doesn't even have to be 37.7% that they're shooting in January. Just get to 36, that 33.9. If you can just get that up to like 36, above average, slightly above average, an acceptable level. If guys can just get up to their career numbers, they're going to win a bunch of these games that they've been losing. And that's going to change the entire dynamic of the second half of the season. Can they? I don't know. They could go out there against Philly on Friday and just completely soil themselves. And we're right back to where we started. This is what the Celtics do. Win a few games, lose a few games, make you feel good, make you feel terrible. Three games is the longest winning streak of the season. So there's nothing here that says everything is great and everything is fixed. There's none of that. But there are just these little slivers that you say, hey, man, maybe there's something. It's like watching a little, I'm Greek, so I have a garden where I don't right now, but I've had them and I will get one again. You see the little sprigs popping out and you go, ooh, oh, maybe I've got some cucumbers coming in. Maybe I got some tomatoes coming in. And it doesn't always work out. You see the signs of life and it doesn't always work out. And you're like, ah, man, damn it. But it just because it doesn't work out doesn't mean that there aren't the signs of life. You just don't know. These are signs of life. These, in all of this craziness for this season, signs of life are very welcome. All right, going to come back tomorrow for the Friday episode. Tons of mailbag questions, so I think I might just make it a mailbag show and answer your questions, because over the past couple days, a lot of questions flying in. So it's johncorrales.com/mailbag. Give a question, give a comment, whatever. If you want to be a dick, go ahead. I've got plenty. I don't read all the dickish ones, but that one resonated with me. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. People like doing that sometimes. If you're new, please list, please subscribe if you haven't subscribed. If you're a regular listener, please tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your family that they should be listening to and watching on YouTube the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network.